Sichas Ran, Sichas Kuf Ayin Gimel, 173. Hope everyone can see my screen. And we'll begin. So this is a part of Sichas Ran which is called Gdolos Nerois Hasagosoi. Here it's translated as his attainments, his awesome and wondrous attainments. Shamati Ma'anashim Sha'amad Rabbi Shimon Talmidoi V'Shamshay. So here, Rabbi Nosson is writing what he heard from other people that Rabbi Shimon, who was the student and the shamish of Rabbi Nachman, he was a shamish of Rabbi Nachman since he was 13, one of the days of Bar Mitzvah. He stood by Rabbi Nachman's side all the time. And pretty much never left him, except we'll see now, he had took a little bit of break in the middle. And Rabbi Shimon is actually buried in Tzfas near the Kever of the Arizal. There's a big Kever for him over there. A lot of people go there because they say, because he said, he told, asked Rabbi Nachman if he could be his shamish, his attendant, not only in this world, but also in the next world. At the beginning, Rabbi Nachman didn't want to give him such an awesome task to be his attendant also in the next world, but eventually, Rabbi Nachman promised him that he will also be his attendant in the next world. And therefore, many people come to his kever, besides for him being himself being obviously a really great tzaddik, to be a gabbai of, to be a shamish of Rabbi Nachman, but also because they know that in order to get to Rabbi Nachman, you have to sign up through the gabbai. And you have to go through him. So people go through Rabbi Shimon in order to get to Rabbi Nachman. So this teaching that we're learning now, or this story, Rabbi Nassan, son of Rabbi Nachman, who wrote these Sichos and Sichos Aran. So he heard this from other people. They didn't hear this directly. So just starting right now, I came in good timing. We can sit down. And he says like this, Rabbi Shimon said at the time that he came from Greenwich, we passed the border, the other side of the border. So even though, like we said, Rabbi Shimon was by Rabbi Nachman's side all the time, I never left him from his bar mitzvah till the last day of his life, and even afterwards in the next world. Nevertheless, there was a time that he distanced himself from Rabbi Nachman. And for three whole years, he didn't see the tzaddik. For three whole years. For three whole years, he was away. He went to a different country. There was a story that happened. Rabbi Nachman was makpid about him, about a certain thing. And he got turned off and he left. And he disappeared for 3 years. He was afraid to come close to Rabbi Nachman or embarrassed or upset, whatever. Whatever the reason was, what? The tzaddik didn't let him come close. Right, because of what happened, the tzaddik didn't let him come close. What happened? Doesn't say exactly here what the story was, what happened, what did he do? He says here, I don't know the exact details. Any Bucky B'maisa as I hate it. I don't know the exact details Rabbi Nelson is saying when he's writing this. But the Rebbe game upset at him and he did something that made him go away for 3 years. A lot of times we see that tzaddik does something that causes people to go away from him and not merit being close to him. Machmad ze Amar Rabbeinu Pamachat Ani Wetzel Shalchecha Shakoyim Farshikin. Maybe Al Nahar Dan. So he did something that wasn't proper in the eyes of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman said, I want to send you away on the other side of the river, the Dan River. That's all he said. He didn't do anything. He just said that. And when there's words that leave the tzaddik's mouth, so automatically it begins to happen. This Gagal Hadabar Shinasa Rabbi Shimon Lasham Lisvivais Nahar Dan Hano. And Hashem caused that Rabbi Nachman's words will be fulfilled. And a short time later, Rabbi Shimon traveled to this area of the Dan River. Shirachak Be'erich Mer Parsaot V'yoter Mimedvedivkam, which is about 100 Parsois distance from Medvedivka. The place where they were. This is before Rabbi Nachman came to Breslov. It was in Medvedivka. Kisham Ika Medinas Rusya Kaidua. Because over there in this place, the Don River is deep in Russian territory. And the Jews are a tiny minority over there in this place in Russia. They're about less than 1,000, less than 1 in 1,000. So, Befrat lifnei kama shanim, especially a couple of years ago when this story happened. When Asar Rabbi Shimon l'sham lefisha, and Rabbi Shimon went there, intended to be there temporarily. Hashem Yitbarach Sibib Shenizkayim Dibri Rabbeinu. And God made it work out that Rabbi Nachman's words were fulfilled. And Rabbi Shimon needed to remain there for a couple of years. What happened during those years would consume many volumes of books. Rabbi Shimon was living among non-Jews during this time. Rabbi Shimon sham kama nisyonot. Rabbi Shimon was subject to untold difficulties and temptations during this time that he was separated from Rabbi Nachman. People who have experienced being by the tzaddik and then being away for a couple of years, they can relate to this. B'toich kach, during this time when Rabbi Shimon was away, b'oisim hashanim shal Rabbi Shimon sham, b'toich kach, yatsa Rabbein Uzal mizlate pole, v'kava dirase pove breslov. During this time that Rabbi Shimon was there, Rabbi Nachman was already moving. He moved from Medvedivka to Zlate Poli, and from there he moved to Breslov. Yashav Khan Le'erch Shtaim Ashola Shan. Vachakach Bar Rabbi Shimon Lakan. And he was, Rabbi Nachman was residing in Breslov already for 2 or 3 years by the time Rabbi Shimon came back. And when Rabbi Shimon came back, what did Rabbi Nachman say to him? Amar lei Rabbeinu Zal. I'm sure he's afraid to come into him at the beginning after being away for so long. But finally, when he gathered up enough strength to come in, Rabbi Nachman said to him like this, Da, you should know. Shekamo shehaya chiluk etzli miyom leidati ad hayom sheyatzata mimeni. Just like there's a big difference in who I am from the time I was born until the time that you left me. So too is the distance between the person I was when you left me and the person that I am today. Rabbi Nachman advanced so much in those 3 years that from the day he was born until the day that Rabbi Shimon left him was the same amount as from the day Rabbi Shimon left him until he came back, which was 2 or 3 years.
I understand.
Klomar is going to explain. That is to say, the tzaddik always goes up higher and higher, higher and higher levels. Gavoa mal gavoa lemala, higher and higher levels, constantly going up, constantly perfecting himself in greater and higher levels. That during these 2 or 3 years that Rabbi Shimon was away, Rabbi Nachman advanced so much, went to such high levels, that so he advanced through as many levels during the 3 years that Rabbi Shimon was away as he advanced from the day he was born until that time. From the day Rabbi Nachman was born until the day Rabbi Shimon left, he went up awesome, amazing levels, right? To become who he became.
When he left, when he came back, was the same amount of
levels, yeah. And much higher, double his level. Now, this is something we can't really comprehend. What does this mean? Someone who has brains in his skull, can understand a little bit of the greatness of Rabbi Nachman, minyan zeh, based on these words. That Rabbi Nachman would go up such high levels during such a short period of time. Ki be'et shiyatza Rabbi Shimon mimenu kvaya Rabbeinu Zal b'Eretz Yisrael. Because when Rabbi Nachman was in Eretz Yisrael and he came back, he said to his students that he reached really, really high levels. And Rabbi Shimon left Rabbi Nachman after this, after Rabbi Nachman was already in Eretz Yisrael. B'chol ma she'abal Rabbeinu Zal kodem zeh, b'chol ha'gdoles v'nerois v'nefloys p'lei p'loys sh'zachal ha'asig ha'sagas ha'tumas v'nerois sh'lei nishmu v'lei niru b'olam kodem sh'ay b'Eretz Yisrael v'chulei. Achar kach kol ha'tzores v'hisrap ka'ois v'chulei sh'abal alav kodem sh'ay b'Eretz Yisrael ad sh'zachal l'voy l'sham v'lachzam misham b'shalom v'chulei hisig shama sh'hisig v'chulei. So before this time that Rabbi Shimon left him, Rabbi Nachman had already gone through so many years of working on himself. Even before going to Eretz Yisrael, they attained such an awesome level of greatness and most wonderful perception of, into the deepest mysteries of the Torah. He was already on a level that was never before seen or heard in all of history. Then, after this traumatic journey to Eretz Yisrael, which you can read about in Shivchei Aran, everything that Rabbi Nachman went through on his trip to Eretz Yisrael, finally he was able to reach the Holy Land and come back peacefully after all that. And in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Nachman attained so much that he said everything that he attained beforehand is nothing compared to what he attained just from going to Eretz Yisrael and coming back. And after all this, he said that in these 2 or 3 years, he went up the same amount that he went up from the day he was born until then, something that we can't even comprehend. That's what we're talking about, aliyos, aliyos. Aliyos, aliyos. We're not talking a lot of aliyos. Every time you have an aliyah, you have to first have a yirida. So yiridas and aliyos. Every time you go up to another level, you have to first fall. But Amar, so we can understand a little bit of the yiridas also, if we understand, if you hear about the aliyos. But all the time, he never gave up and always got up stronger and higher.
The Rav once told us that he wouldn't believe how many aliyos we just had before I got the word out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right. So it gives chizuk, you know. Maybe we don't feel the aliyahs, but at least we feel the yiridahs. At least we have something in common with the tzaddik. Feel the yiridahs.
No, he said aliyahs and yiridahs.
So yeah, but probably the tzaddik.
Yeah, but we.
He's much more sensitive to yiridahs than we are. I mean, we're also very sensitive, but I'm saying, you know.
And he said that whatever he knew before coming to Israel, it's nothing. All of his teachings that he taught for Israel, almost 99% of them are gone. He didn't save any of them. He said, whatever I taught you, you can forget about. Now we're on a completely new level, completely new world. Not only that, he was ashamed of the limited scope of his teachings before going to Eretz Yisrael, in his path and his understanding that he knew before coming to Eretz Yisrael. Person has to reach a level where they're ashamed of everything that they knew before him, everything that they taught. Like imagine, it's a big Rebbe, he has tons of Hasidim, he's teaching Torah, he's writing Svarim, all of a sudden he goes to Eretz Yisrael, comes back, he's like, I'm embarrassed of everything I ever said, everything I ever told you, forget about it.
You know, I heard a story that I love. Yeah. He would have his son being Makav to Rabbeinu until he just like, he's just like, he's like, that's it. I'm not a Rav anymore. He would work in the kitchen.
Worked in the kitchen?
To feed people. Yeah.
Which Rav?
I don't know which Rav, but he, whatever. He's not a Rav anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But he is completely.
That's what it is. A lot of the people that became Gedolim in Breslov, they were first great people in other places. And when they came to Breslov, they became nothing. They're like cleaning the kitchen.
Yeah. Like this.
You know, to clean the floors in Breslov is, you know, a higher level than being a leader anywhere else. Once there's something in the Gemara about it. What does it say in the Gemara about it? That the tzaddik came to learn from a different tzaddik in the Gemara. And he said, I am davening to Hashem, I should forget everything that I knew before. You know what he's talking about?
No.
Someone came to learn the Amoraim. Came to learn with another Amoraim. He's like, I davening to Hashem, I should forget everything I learned before in order for me to be empty and have room to learn from your greatness, to receive new Torah. That's the way it is. Someone from outside of Breslov coming into Breslov, he wants to forget everything they knew before. And Rabbi Nachman himself, from the level that he reached before to the level that he reached now, after his Israel, he wanted to forget everything.
I'm such a clown.
He wanted to forget everything.
I'm such a clown.
He wanted to, he was ashamed of everything that he knew.
Such a clown.
Don't worry, the Torah you told before, you have new Torah, don't worry.
B'achakach halach mala mala b'chol yom b'chol shah. And then it wasn't over. It wasn't like, okay, now I reached this level and I made it and I'm embarrassed of what I reached for, but at least now I know the truth. No. Not for one moment was he content with what he knows, with the truth that he reached. At every moment he would be going up higher and higher, discovering deeper and higher truths. So now after all this time, the time that Rabbi Shimon, his Shamash left him, it was already a few years after he came back from Eretz Yisrael. Re'eva Avein V'Habet, you should see, understand, and gaze at this. Ve'eze Ma'ala Madrega Amaraz, what kind of awesome level did he stand on? We said that before he left to Eretz Yisrael, he was on a level that no one can possibly comprehend, never was seen or heard in all of history. And when he came back, he was ashamed of what he knew before. And then he kept going higher and higher. And then Rabbi Shimon left him. And when Rabbi Shimon came back after 2 or 3 years, he said, you should know that from the time you left till you came back, I reached higher levels that as much as from the day I was born until the day that you left. So imagine a little bit about what we're dealing with over here. Ba'achar kol eile. So what do we learn from all this? We learn from all this that there's absolutely no comprehension whatsoever on the level of Rabbeinu. No, can't even begin to think about comprehending any drop, imagination of anything of Rabbi Nachman. Can't even imagine, dream of imagining, beginning to dream, to imagine anything. Rabbi Nachman himself says in Kutei Maharan that no one can grasp anything about the tzaddik. So how do you know he's a tzaddik? How can you receive from him? He says the only way you can receive from him is through to his students. And he says it's like this, like a stamp. You see the stamp over here? You take a stamp, you look at the stamp itself, you can't read it because everything's backwards. But when you stamp it on a paper, you can see the words that are coming out of it, right? But on the stamp itself, you can't see. The tzaddik himself is the stamp. Only the impression that he makes on people and his students that are close to him, the person who read it and comprehend and understand.
Right.
But the tzaddik, himself, we have no comprehension whatsoever. No comprehension whatsoever. And that's where people go off when they start to think that they understand something of the tzaddik. Can never begin to understand anything of the tzaddik. Now we're going to continue. Kuf Ayin Dalet 174, Sichos Aran. Shmati Rabbi Shimon Anal, Shamar, Blay Rabbeinu Zal. And I heard from this Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Nosson is saying, that Rabbi Nachman told him, Po Brestov, Seif Yama, here in Brestov, towards the end of Rabbi Nachman's life, he said this. He said like this. He said, Kamo Yisha'at the Royal, you see. The way that you see me today, everything that I toiled and worked on and attained through my work from the day I was born until today. Now, I can do all of this in one day. Towards the end of Rabbi Nachman's life, he said, everything I worked on from the day I was born until today, I can do all that in one day.
Because you get such a high level. Whatever you worked up until now, you could do in 1 second what he could do.
Do it all in one day.
That took him months. Because
so imagine if every day he's multiplying himself, then the next day, next day, next day, no words. Chakach b'man achya amar, another time Rabbi Nachman told him, later on, then he said, I can really accomplish everything that I accomplished from the day I was born till today in 1 moment or a single hour, 1 hour. In 1 hour, I could attain everything that I attained from the day I was born until today. And later on, he said to him, that now I can accomplish all this in 1 moment. One moment.
But the regular shnia is different.
Shnia is a second. 60 seconds in a minute. Daka is a minute. Moment there's no time. It's like
a moment in the left.
Any moment. Any moment. They attain all this. Like Rabbi Chaim, Kanievsky, they asked him, he works every year, he finishes all the Torah, all of Shas, all of Zoyars, all of Midrashim, all of Shulchan Aruch, Shami, everything. So they asked him, how long does it take someone to review the whole Shas in their mind? He said, a half hour. Half hour, you can chazer the whole Shas in your mind. He said it practically, like, he said anyone could do in your mind.
What? It's like a Moses, probably. You think one thing, but then
half hour.
The
tzaddikim were like that. I'm saying literal tzaddikim of this generation, of the recent generations, that they would review in their, they would, all their lips would always be moving. They'd be mumbling the whole Shas. They finished it in a half hour. The Vilna Gaon never sat down to have a meal before finishing doing a siyum. So, So this is things that people nowadays have attained. Rabbi Nachman says he attained so much. So in one moment, he could accomplish all those things that he worked on from the day he was born. And what did he work on? He worked on with such mysterious nefesh, such self-sacrifice, so much work. Without resting for a second, all that he can do in one moment. V'havin heitiv. Understand this well. How far this brings us. When the Rebbe said this to Rabbi Shimon, he was already worthy of this, of his great attainment. He had already said that his previous level of perception and devotion was nothing compared to what he later attained. Even this previous level was very great and deep. And this occurred many, many times. Even before he came to Israel, his level of attainment was beyond comprehension. Afterwards, when he came back from Eretz Yisrael, he considered everything that he attained beforehand like nothing at all, and he was ashamed of it. And afterwards, he continued going higher and higher without any measurement that the mouth can't even describe. And the heart can't even think about, et cetera, et cetera. Kamuvan ma'at b'sipur mishem ikvar, as is a little bit understood from stories that were said about him. Achakach amar kanal, and after all this, he said this. They can do all this in one moment. That means he's doing all this in one moment. Every moment he's attaining all this. Re'eva habet v'havein. Contemplate and see and understand about the stories that happened in the past, and then you can understand a little bit about the greatness of these things that we're saying right now. And I also heard that Rabbi Nachman once said, when a person merits to complete, to receive complete das, azay yicholim laaseis v'laavay l'Hashem Yisbarach b'reva sha, and a person can accomplish in 15 minutes, mash adam acher tzorach l'avay l'tzorgeh choze azay shivim shana, like a regular person needs to work on all this, to attain all this for 70 years. So this is what Rabbi Nachman is saying to anyone, any person. If someone is zoichet to das hashalim, to real das, complete das, any person can achieve in 15 minutes what a regular person would have to work on very much in 70 years, entire lifetime. Anyone. You can do it.
If you
get das hashalom.
The rub is down hours from that, not down to minutes.
Yeah, sometimes hours and hours. Yeah. You see some tzaddikim, they would be davening hours and hours and days. And then later on, you would see they were davening in like 5-15 minutes. It could be also an idea. Rabbi Nachman says we can be like him, mamish. And believe that we can be like him, mamish. To go out to the Sadeh and cry, go out in the Sadeh, there should be Zeche, be Kamani Mamish. Zeche to the Bracha of Kamani Mamish. That's all we have. That's Shalem you get from learning Torah. Everyone can be Kamani Mamish. Rav Nachman can be given to everyone the same amount. You know, you don't get it just from dancing on the roofs of the tenders, of the vans. It's a good thing to do, but when you sing Das HaShalem, you have to have Das. Das you get from learning Torah. If someone just sits and learns Torah, you see it.
Shalom says, in order for someone to become a Muslim, that's it. If they're married, they have to get Das.
Get Das. Rav just said yesterday by the Shir that after a person gets married, just sit in front of the Gemara, and all he knows is Gemara. Just sit in front of the Gemara and not move from the Gemara. Says if that's after you get married, imagine how much a person has to do before he gets married. Doesn't have any responsibilities. All you have is the Torah, nothing else. And then you get Das Shalem. Then you get all these madrigas, Kamani Mamash. You have to go out to the Sadeh and cry out in the Sadeh. You have to dance. But the main thing that you're getting is from having your head in the Svarim, in the Gemara. Das you get from the Gemara. From this, reading this, we get his errors, his lavas. We don't get Das. Das you have to get from sitting and learning Gemara. Only way you get Das. Mm-hmm. There's no shortcuts.
Yeah. No shortcuts. As Jews, we think the shortcuts are everything.
No shortcuts.
Avodas
Hashem, there's no shortcuts.
No, I'm saying Jews think everything else in life is shortcuts.
This is no shortcut.
Well, it's just Hashem, there's no shortcuts.
No shortcuts to this.
We sit there and work. If they sit there, like, if someone gives a motion, like, like the water is like passing by a rock. It takes years for the rock to actually start changing from that water.
Exactly. Like Akiva saw the dripping of the water hitting the rock and making a hole in the rock until it penetrated many, many years,
40 years
of persistence. And after all these years of work, then you can in one moment reach all those levels again. You have to first work a lot of years for that.
Yeah.
Rav Nachman only lived 38 years and he reached all these levels.
Yes, see, the Ben is right. Whatever it takes people 70 years, it took him 30 years, isn't it? He didn't need to be in this world anymore.
Way before that, he already said he accomplished everything.
Yeah, exactly. But he takes 20, 70 years. He did it with the extra 30 years.
He already accomplished everything that he needed in this body. He wanted to just leave the body and go back up. But he has Rahmanis on his people, so that's why he stayed here for longer. And that was till 38 years. So now,
the Rav said 30 years, you would finish everything. It tells what it is.
Great. Now we're going to talk about Pidyonis.
Not the Rav himself. No.
Now we're going to talk about Pidyonis. As long as the police don't come and arrest us, we're talking about Pidyonis. But here, this is what we're up to, so now you do about it. They might do an investigation to the criminal acts of discussing pidyonis. But what can we do? We're just what it says. We can't skip it. It's recorded. It's recording. It's broadcasting live. YouTube. We're in trouble. The door's locked. It's okay. You can leave it open.
Why are you
writing? Amar. Before Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Nachman said, "Any idea how tzaddikim make a pidyon? I have no understanding. I don't know how tzaddikim make a pidyon. Pidyon nefesh is when someone has a decree against them in Shemayim, and they can redeem it by giving a large amount of money to a tzaddik, and the tzaddik does a pidyon, and it cancels the decree. Rav said, I don't know how other tzaddikim do this. Because in order to do a pidyon, you need to know all of the 24 heavenly courts. Because when a person brings the pidyon, he needs to know in which of these 24 courts in heaven is the person being judged. Because maybe this tzaddik is doing the pidyon and the hamtaka, the sweetening of judgments, that's regarding a certain heavenly court. But this guy that came to him is actually being judged in a different court. So first of all, the person needs to know, the tzaddik needs to know which court is the person being judged in. Every court has a different kind of redemption and hamtaka and sweetening that can be done in that specific basin. I don't know how other tzaddikim are doing this, because what does this mean? It means he knows that other tzaddikim don't have this level of understanding to know which beis din it is and how to fix and how to be mamtik in each beis din. But I know all of the 24 heavenly courts. V'ani yochol la'asos apilatia beis din l'beis din. I can do a appeal from one court to the other, meaning if one court already passed the decree, I know how to take his case to another court and appeal the judgment. Yeah, it says this is called apilatia, appealment. I had an esim ba'arba bat edinim on all the 24 heavenly courts. The haynu sheni yochol loymer sheni nira ene nira li amishpat based in ze. Meaning I can come up to these heavenly courts and say, I don't agree with the decision of this court. I'm going to take the case to another court. And they have to listen to me. And I can take the case to any one of the 24 basins because I'm well versed in all of them. I'm very well known. I go from court to court to all of them. Certainly this power to take a person's case from one heavenly court to another, even after the judgment was passed, is certainly very beneficial. Because nevertheless, even if he doesn't get the appeal approved and the judgment canceled, in the meantime, the sentence is delayed. And what does it help that the sentence is delayed? Meanwhile, sometimes someone does an appeal, even though they know that the appeal won't be accepted, but at least it gets pushed off, the sentence gets pushed off, whatever long it takes, till the bureaucracy gets worked out. What does it help spiritually if the spiritual judgment is delayed? Because when it's delayed, the sentence is much lighter. Because during this time, this extra time that the person gets, God forbid, a person gets a sentence in heavenly court that he's going to die. He comes to the tzaddik, gives a pidyon, $20,000. Tzaddik says, I'll take care of it for you. And tzaddik goes up to the heavenly courts and he appeals the sentence. Appeals it in one court. Goes through the whole process. There, let's say they give him the sentence again to die. He goes to another court, the 24 courts. He can go from one to the next. Meanwhile, he gives this person more years to live. Person could be living maybe his whole life because of this. But the point of delaying the judgment is that meanwhile, this person is going to have a hero tshuvah. He was by the tzaddik and he's going to do a mitzvah. And then he's going to have more reward. Then through his own merit, the judgment can be changed. Because then another court says, look at him. Now he's not the same person that he was back then when he passed the sentence. So we have to redo it. But And even if this doesn't help, ani yochol asais, and then senya. Behind the shlecha davar la kesa ba'atzma. Let's see if they translate this. So even if this doesn't help, all this appealing and giving him more time and giving him a chance to do tshuva, after this, and all the courts reject the appeal, he can still, Rabbi Nachman said about himself, I can still appeal directly to the king himself. And the person doesn't do tshuva. He's still doing bad things. He's still deserving in the sentence. Nevertheless, Rabbi Nachman can take the case directly to the king. And the king in a second can cancel it. He doesn't have to go through the courts. He's just doing it, process. But he doesn't have to go straight to the king. Tzadik goes about Kadosh Baruch Makayim. And Tzadik can decree and Hashem needs to fulfill. So it's not a simple thing, giving a pidyon. Yeah, it's not a simple thing that the tzaddik does a pidyon. It's a melacha gedola v'chachma gedola. It's an amazing chachma, amazing wisdom, and a lot of effort goes into doing a pidyon. Not a simple manner at all. Not just that person's a big tzaddik and now the pidyon works. No, the tzaddik has to do a lot of work. He fights for you. It's worth the money, even though he doesn't take the money for himself, but the person would pay $20,000 to get a lawyer like that has connections in all the courts, heavenly courts, and also connected straight to the king. He'd pay millions of dollars for it. It's a great wisdom and effort that no one else in the generation can do it. There's no one else in the generation that can do this. Like Rav Nachman says in Likutei Moran, where he teaches a pidyonos, there's only one person in each generation that knows how to do a pidyonos. So that's why he said, I don't understand how that's thinking about taking pidyonos, because in those days, Rabbi Nachman wasn't the only one that was taking pidyonos. Someone said, oh, I can do a pidyon by a different tzaddik. He's much cheaper. I'll go to him. It doesn't work that way. There's only one person who knows how to do a pidyon.
No, I'm not going to all 24.
Exactly. That's what you need to do. It's not called a pidyon if you don't know all 24.
I mean,
It's impossible to opinion unless someone knows all the 24 about the din.
Oh.
This is also on the Likutei Moran. He says it also, maybe here, maybe another place, that going to a different tzaddik that doesn't know all the 24 can make it worse. Because he goes to the wrong court and he causes a whole noise, and really the guy is not being judged in this court at all. Ki umalacha gedoyla lahachnes kol habakasha b'toich eze tebeis b'mispar gam nitin hakavid la'kesa karoi ki bevada eifshar l'shtar chabi dvarim la'kesa. So we don't understand what this means, how this works, but the tzaddik, who's only part of him is in this world, and most of him is in the upper worlds. Most of him is in the upper worlds. So he knows all the work that's needed to act in the upper worlds. No one else knows how to do this correctly. It's a major skill to frame each petition in the precise number of words and to give proper respect to the king. For it is certainly impossible to send too many cases directly to the king. It's not like someone, tzaddik comes, he has a thousand questions a day. People want refuah and shalom bayis, yeshuas, kizrof haderech, zivug, children, all different kinds of stuff people want. If thousands of questions, people come to the tzaddik every day, line up, and they throw their questions on the tzaddik. You can't just throw it to Hashem. It's not a simple thing. You can't just come with a pile full of papers and say, Hashem, here, take care of all this. No, you have to know how to do it. You need tremendous skill for this, he's saying. Gam Amar, Eini yodea eich yicholem lases pidyon. So then he also said, I don't understand how they claim to make a pidyon. How did these other tzaddikim claim that they can make a pidyon? They tell people, here, I'll do a pidyon for you. How could they say such a thing? I know, I see with my own eyes that they can't do it. I'm in court fighting myself. I don't see anyone else there in court. There's only one person in each generation knows how to do it. It's obviously something that we can't understand. Rav Nachman says it over here. It's impossible to do a pidyon unless someone knows exactly how the Kohen Gadol dealt with the Seir HaMishtaleach, the banished goat. So you understand? No, you don't understand anything. You can walk away from this at least knowing that you know nothing. If you can know you know nothing, then you
don't have the knowledge. I don't have the knowledge, right?
You don't have the knowledge, Jack?
Okay,
tachas ha'idea shalon eida. The epitome of knowledge is to know that you know nothing. We know that there is someone in this world that knows. Our job is to connect ourselves to him, to do our pidyonos to him. And if you have a connection with him, then you're in good hands. Good hands. Moshe is asking, is it written somewhere? What are the roles of the 24 different heavenly courts? Do they prosecute different kinds of crimes? Where can we read more about this? It's a fascinating topic. So that's exactly what Rav Nachman is saying here, that no one knows. There's only one person in the generation that knows anything about this. We don't know anything about this, and it's not written anywhere. There's no, you can't buy a book somewhere and learn about it. It's only something that you attain when you become the Tzaddik Adon. Well, how do you know it? Not by reading a book, you know, by seeing it. You're there. You're there on a daily basis. And you know how things work. There's only one person in a generation that knows anything about this. I don't think it's written anywhere. Any more details about how the 24 heavenly courts work. Just the fact that it's mentioned that there are 24 courts and each one is very different than the other. Like we just read now. But any more details is not available in your local bookstore. Okay, so we're going to stop here. Maybe we'll let you know if we're having a class next week for Pesach. We might be busy. So look out in your email inboxes if there's a cancellation or not. If anyone wants to review this class, it's saved already on the Shuvah Banim or the Breast of English YouTube channel. So you can go see there.
Breast of English?
Breast of English. Shuvah Banim.
Oh.
Yeah. Tov. Okay. Nice to speak to you and see you once again. And we'll meet again soon. Thank you for everything. Stay safe. Peace. And cheers.
Peace and love.